Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, May 17th, 2012. Love Won't Walk Away from Here I Stand, CD by Arlen Salty. On May 1st, 1977, Arlen, fellow musician Dean Headland, and soundman Neil Goetz held a concert that proved to be the beginning of what is now a 35-year-old ministry. With more than 250,000 albums sold, he's a top-selling artist in Canadian Christian recording history, and in 2010 was honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award by GMA Canada. Arlen's one of the pioneers of Canadian Christian music and has, through New Creation Ministries, in its annual Break Forth Canada concerts, encourage other musicians and artists in their ministries. He's on the phone with us tonight from his office in Edmonton. Good evening, Arlen.
Hey, good to talk to you again, Robert.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
About 20 years or something like that.
That's right.
Before we get into New Creation Ministries, now let's go right back to the beginning with you. And when did you actually start doing music?
Well, I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, I was a breech baby, so my feet came out first, and so apparently I was dancing and tapping from the beginning. So the exact time, I'm not sure. But I really don't remember a time when I wasn't surrounded by music, and then, you know, of course, I was placed into the required piano lessons and all those things that every, you know, good Christian parent forces their children into. And then I started, you know, I went through several years and played guitar, and then actually really in Bible school when I was 18 years of age or 19 years of age is when I started doing Christian music, and that's when I started recording and got a big old four-track reel-to-reel and started making records. Remember those big black things?
Oh, I'm thinking four-track reel-to-reel. Now, there's a blast from the past.
I know, it is. And, actually just a friend of mine, Dean Headland, you mentioned him on the intro. He just sent me a CD of a recording we did in Bible school, and it kind of sounds like the Beatles without all the talent with, you know, so much overdubbing on four tracks. But, and then down through the years, and we launched what is called New Creation Ministries back then in 1977, and then we've been going ever since.
Now, who were some of the early influences that you had as a musician at that point?
Well, it's kind of, are you talking about Christian musicians or just?
Well, both, like just overall general and then some of the Christian musicians that were influencing you as well.
Well, as far as the mainstream musicians, you know, I always loved, you know, artists, everything from Creedence to, of course, who can ever deny they loved the Beatles? Of course, they were fantastic.
Yep.
And as well as, of course, a lot of classical composers, because I was surrounded with classical music in my home, which kind of influenced my music and allowed me in the early years to use some little different chordal structures than were being used in the kind of the folk Jesus music days at that time. As far as Christian musicians, of course, Larry Norman was there, and Randy Stonehill, and people like that who influenced me in the very beginning. Love Song, love them. Phil Kagi, which, you know, we've hosted Phil several times. I remember listening to him, and at the very beginning when my life was turned around and I started singing Christian music, Phil Kagi, listening to his incredible guitar playing, and my eyes just opened and said, yes, we've landed.
Yeah. Well, that Love Broke Through album was just incredible. And then you go back to some of his glass harp stuff and the things that he was doing with the guitar at that point in time were just, you know, it's unrivaled.
Yeah, it really is. It's mind-boggling. Of course, Second Chapter of Acts, I mean, you know, what they would, you know, be able to pull out was just incredible. You know, that song Devil is a Liar, where they're actually laughing in three-part harmony, just incredible things. And this is before digital technology, so... Yeah. They had to stand in front of one microphone, push record, and make it happen.
So, well, and especially when you get Matthew Ward's vocals soaring up over his sister's. It was just, that sound was just incredible.
Yeah, we had Matthew Ward at Breakforth Canada this year, and just he stood on main stage and sang Easter Song.
Oh, wow.
Chills in the audience and the tears in the eyes. And of course, the people who had never heard of him before, who were younger, just... this guy is in his 50s and he's singing like that. Just incredible when he hits some of those notes.
Wow. Now, let's go back and remind some of our listeners about what the 70s and 80s were really like for Christian musicians in Canada. What were some of the challenges that you faced along the way as you're getting started?
Oh, no challenges, Robert. You know that. I mean, it was all plus tour buses and five-star hotels.
Don't I remember something about a broken down school bus with bad brakes in the Rockies?
Yeah. We had a lot of interesting experiences because, of course, as you know, in the early years in the 70s, a lot of music could be played, even though it would be pretty tame by today's standards. You know, the church wasn't ready to accept that. And, you know, you certainly saw that with Larry Norman and Randy Stonehill and artists like that. And so we faced a lot of opposition. A lot of the church didn't know what to do with us. And, you know, I don't want to sit here in condemnation because, you know, we got the hate mail and, you know, the people who are yelling at us. Because I think for a lot of them, it was such a massive seismic shift for them that it's difficult for them to handle. But, you know, yes, we slept in ditches. We slept on church floors. We had broken down converted school buses. We, you know, I remember one time, and you alluded to it, our brakes went out in the mountains and careening down the side of the mountain. And the best thing about it is, something I wouldn't do now, but we had hitchhikers in the bus. And before that time, they weren't very interested in the gospel, but I'll tell you, without brakes, you know, whatever gospel tracts were in the back, they were ready to read them. Be prepared to meet your maker.
Well, the other challenge to it.
Great times and wonderful adventure and people's lives transformed. I'm hearing about more and more people whose hearts and lives are changed. Certainly there are difficulties, but I want to focus on the great things that did in people's lives.
Well, of course, one of the other big challenges was the fact that there wasn't Christian radio in Canada at that point. And the reason you guys were out in broken down school buses is you had to tour. You had to get out there to get your music and the message out.
Absolutely. No, and I'd say one of the greatest gifts to Christian musicians nowadays is the fact that there is Christian radio pretty much from coast to coast. And it's an incredible blessing to be able to have that. It's a gift. And those pioneers in radio like yourself and many others who, you know, made that next step, I mean, really need to be applauded for that because it's given a voice to Christian music that it didn't have in the 70s. So, well done.
Yeah. What we need to do is take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our guest, Arlen Salty, and talk about what's happening with New Creation Ministries and his music. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Thank you.
The Arts Connection, you've been listening to another Heartbreaks from the Great Big Noise CD by Arlen Salty. I'm your host, and Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Arlen. Looking at, and you sort of alluded to the challenge contemporary Christian music had breaking in the 70s and 80s, but what's changed in the way that music is viewed by people today within the churches?
Well, certainly, you have the detractors, certainly, and you always will. It doesn't matter what you do, if you're trying to please everybody, you're never going to reach that goal. It's an impossible goal. But I would say, by and large, you take a look at it in the Christian churches, and even a lot of the music that's being led in worship on a Sunday morning is far more radical than a lot of people were even doing in the 70s, when you consider the volume of the drums, etc., and the aggressiveness of the guitar sounds. So the church has absolutely been far more open to a lot more contemporary Christian music, and that's been very, very good for a lot of musicians.
Now, how has this sort of, looking at that change in that, and looking at even with musicians, how have musicians' attitudes changed? I mean, there was a little bit of animosity from musicians towards the churches because of there was a pushback on that. But how has that changed now?
Well, certainly in the 70s and the late 60s and even into the early 80s, because of the pushback from the church, it's understandable. Whenever there is that much contention and actually outright animosity towards someone, you're going to have hurt feelings, and of course we react emotionally. And so while it may not have been right how the Christian musicians were viewing the church in the 70s, that's just a human emotion, and that's just the reality of the situation. Now, things have changed significantly. It's interesting because, of course, back when the record companies were incredibly healthy in Christian music, there was actually, financially and as far as shows, those kind of things, there was a much stronger situation for a lot of Christian musicians. Now, with the death of the record companies, and many of them, of course, have died, it's really gone back to the reality of the 70s, where a lot of Christian musicians can no longer just depend upon record sales, and they actually have to get out and tour and tour and play and play. So it's kind of a full circle. But, I think to a certain extent it's a healthy thing, because there was a lot of money a number of years ago, and now there isn't. I mean, it's pretty rare. So a lot of Christian musicians who may have just been in it for, the accolades of the crowd and what they were receiving, are having to actually really re-examine, why in the world am I doing this? Because it's not like it was in the late 90s, mid to late 90s. It's a good thing.
Yeah, and I think the thing with that too is people are getting back into it for more. I'm not sure positive is the right word, but they're getting into it for the right reasons. They're recording their music, whether they're doing it independently, and going out and touring, because that's the calling that they have. They know that they can't not do music. They can't not go out and reach people within the church and outside of the church for that. And they're doing it now for good, solid, God-driven reasons for it.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is because there's a greater harmony with the churches, they're far more in partnership with the church, which is absolutely far healthier than it was for a period of time.
Well, and New Creation Ministries really contributed to some of this stuff. I mean, I remember back with some of the teams that you sent out and going out and reaching out into the churches and reaching out into the communities. What are some of the contributions that you see over the years that New Creation and Break Forth have done?
Well, with our various teams, we did about 7,000 events, and then over the years, we've done over 10,000 in total. But I would say going with a lot of those communities and a lot of churches and kind of opening their minds and their perceptions and also their sense of mission in the community, because a lot of churches prior to that time were really withdrawn, and they didn't really think about the world outside the door as far as culturally relevant. And again, I really want to clarify, I'm not talking about changing of orthodoxy or positions on the scriptures. I'm just talking about the method of delivery. And so when the teams would go out, and hold a concert, all of a sudden the church attendance would surge for that evening, or if they were playing on a Sunday morning, all of a sudden church members would invite their friends and church attendance would go up on Sunday morning. And so a lot of the pastors and church leaders would come to us and say, hold it here. This is wonderful what you're doing. You know, you're really enhancing our ministry here in the local church, but now can you come out and help us to strengthen our local musicians? And so we actually held a lot of regional worship workshops and trained about 5,000 praise team members and leaders in doing that a number of years ago. And I think that really helped a lot of the local churches to understand that, you know, we have to consider the culture and how the culture changes. I mean, I've been told that culture will shift every 3 to 5 years. So how is the church addressing that? You know, how are we adapting? Again, not changing the essence of the gospel or the scriptures or orthodoxy, but in how we actually present ourselves to the world.
Well, and I think one of the side benefits, I thought, with all of that has, with the music and that, has also been a shift in attitude in churches towards the arts in general. Because as you're talking about cultural relevancy, then churches are starting to see that they could use drama, they could use paintings, they can use all various art forms. And have you noticed that taking place over those years?
Absolutely. And, you know, our early teams used a lot of drama in their presentations. So I guess, you know, from that perspective, we, you know, they would predominantly use music and spoken word, but there was always a drama in their presentations. Sometimes even good. we've seen in churches that they're far more open to broader cultural expression in worship. And really, when you think about it, I mean, that's, you know, the church really during, you know, hundreds of years ago really supported the arts. They were the main contributor to the arts.
Yep.
And you cannot cut the church out without destroying, you know, many of the greatest works of art in the world. You just walk through the Vatican, you walk through some of these other places, and you realize if the church wouldn't have been there, what would actually exist? And I think the church is reclaiming those roots and their position in society. And really, what I've challenged a lot of churches to do is take this seriously, because as there are cutbacks in education, there are cutbacks in the arts. A lot of parents and a lot of children are looking for an opportunity to explore those gifts and learn in those areas. And so I challenged a lot of churches to say, step out and take that role seriously. Once up again, the mantle's been dropped, pick it up again, and it's time to take that very seriously. And the church is, to a great extent. It's
right.
Wonderful to see.
Well, we need to take one final break, and when we come back, we'll finish our conversation with New Creation Ministries Executive Director and musician Arlen Salty. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Desert dream.
Black Arts Connection. You've been listening to Heaven Is My Home. Arlen, you knew I had to play that one.
I knew you had.
That's one of my favorite. That's from your Here I Stand CD. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Arlen Salty. Now, one of the big things that you do and the ministry does is the annual Break Forth Canada Conference. Now, what is it about that conference that gets people to go to Edmonton in the middle of January?
You know, first of all, I know it's hard for an Ontario boy now.
Oh, hey, I was out in Edmonton for 10 years. Don't forget that.
I know you were. Yeah, you were. Yeah, it's really the center of the universe, so that helps. First of all, it's, of course, a miracle that happens in Edmonton in January. But what we've really done in Break Forth Canada is we've said, you know, there are all these individual conferences that are taking place so someone can study on leadership. They go off by themselves and they come back home as a Lone Ranger and they have all these wonderful ideas. But then there isn't a significant change force that's come from the church in order to enact that change. So we hold 160 to 180 classes and workshops and everything from prayer ministry to women's to leadership. But there are over 2,500 people who come in to study on the arts. And so we'll have on visual arts. We had painting last year and drama. We have video production. We have all the technical arts. We have everything from orchestral instruments to guitar to bass and vocals and praise band skills to leadership, worship leadership, to the Gospel Music Association being a part of that and teaching classes. So with over 2,500 people there just in the arts area, it's pretty vibrant in that area.
That whole conference is, I remember, you know, being in one conference that was in a hotel ballroom, with Randy Stonehill, and you know, you've boomed from that to taking over the Edmonton Convention Center, So, what are the dates for the 2013 conference?
2013 is January 25 to 27, and in 2013 in Edmonton, and we take over almost all of downtown Edmonton, over 15,000 people. And if anyone wants to get in touch with us and learn a little bit more, they just go to breakforthcanada.com. And that will do it.
Yeah. Now, who are the keynote speakers this year?
Well, we're still working on that. We have people like Francis Chan, and we're working on some other names right now. Artists include everyone from Casting Crowns to someone who's been around a long time called Amy Grant. You know, she's kind of had a resurgence in her faith and her musical expression again. And, a lot of worship artists like Paul Balazs. Yeah, no, it's quite a lineup.
Yeah, I think was Down Here mentioned as well?
We're talking to Down Here. We've certainly taken a look at them, and we've had them for 2 years, but they're such spectacular, people and artists and performers and songwriters. I mean, they're God is totally unfair when he gave that much talent to those four guys. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and then you got Mark Martello doing the whole Queen thing as well.
Yeah, that's really true. It's interesting to see how great he's doing in the mainstream marketplace and standing firm on his Christian beliefs. It's great to see that.
And that has been a whole change as well, is attitudes towards Christians being in the mainstream markets as well. There was a point in time where that was just absolutely totally frowned on.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's been healthy that we were referring to before is, because the church has been more open to contemporary expression in the arts, they can stand alongside of those musicians and other artists who are involved in the mainstream and say, you know, we're going to support you in this time because we know it's a difficult world to live within. So good on the church for doing that.
Yeah. So other than Break Forth Edmonton, what's on your agenda for the next little while?
Well, Break Forth Finland is coming up, and we have launched Break Forth Israel this year, as well as some other things. We have Artisan Mission, which is like the early teams. That's actually headed up by our daughter, Linnea Salty, who's a recording artist. We have a recording studio, Salt Shaker Studios, that releases a good 10 CDs a year. A lot of things going on.
Cool.
And then I still get out and perform and teach and preach. And so, you know, that's still part of me. And until my voice gives out, I'm sure that'll be a part of my life too.
Great. Well, Arlen, thanks a lot for your time tonight.
Well, thanks so much, Robert. I appreciate you taking the time, and it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, and thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Arlen Salty. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.